In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
Hey, Vikram. Why don't you tell the good folk, our pleasant listeners, what we're doing here?
So we take a movie, toss a coin, heads argues for, tails argues against, and that's it.
That's right. And today is pretty exciting because the movie we are feuding today is, one might say, a future classic, a game-changing event of the decade, Marvel's Avengers 1 2012, also known as Marvel's Avengers Assemble in certain regions.
Is it? I thought that was a cartoon.
I feel like I saw posters where it was called that. You know, they had to appeal to the hardcore comic book crowd.
I feel like that's something they did after Avengers 2 or something like that, you know, just to distinguish Avengers from the sequels, maybe. Regardless, Avengers Assembled is what we're feuding today.
Care to share your thoughts on the movie, your experience watching it for the first time, etc., etc.?
I had fun when I watched it for the first time in a theater.
Can we lay our cards on the table here? This was a game-changing event, and everybody had fun watching this in a theater, including, even though I wasn't with you at the time, very confidently I can say both of us loved it, probably watched it again in theaters. Did you?
Oh, no. I did the one watch.
I did that. I did the thing where you stick around at the end of another movie. I was in the US at the time. You stick around at the end of another movie and you just like turn back around and go for another. So I watched it for free the second time. How exciting.
You're right, man. It was kind of a game changer when it came out in terms of scale and
the build up, dude. The universe creation, 4 years, I think four movies that came before it building up to this event.
Yeah, game changer.
Actually, the rate of the movie churnout now seems pretty low. It was four movies in 4 years, I think, and this was probably the fifth one. We might be off by one movie here. And in the following 6 years, they made like 18 more.
That's true. I think Iron Man was 2008 and this movie was 2012. And they did Cap, the first Thor, and Iron Man 2 before this movie came out.
Also, this was the sixth one because technically Incredible Hulk as well.
As well, yeah. I guess they were just like setting up the structure and stuff. So it took them a while going and now it's just a machine.
Dude. It's a machine, dude. They just pumped those babies out. Well, I'm pretty excited to feud this. And I'm a little nervous about the coin toss because of the aforementioned, 2012 experience.
But it's been a while. That, yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time you watched this movie?
It's been a really long time. Like I was trying to think about it and I have blanks in terms of the plot lines and the storyline. So it's been a really long time.
Oh, whoa. I wouldn't say I blanked in the storyline. I did watch it twice after all in theaters. So the storyline is pretty drilled into me. But I have to say, this is not one I go back to often. There's something about it where I don't really feel the need to go back to it.
Yeah, because of all the movies that have come out after this, man, like, why would you...
Yeah, there's been so much more.
And it's not like, you know, it's the origin story or anything. It's just, the good part is all of them meeting for the first time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of those first meetings are some things that I don't remember particularly well. So I'm pretty excited to just go watch this movie again.
Awesome. Why don't we get to the coin toss then?
Yeah, let's do it. Why don't you toss the coin this time?
Okay, sounds good. So I'm going to be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for the movie. Tails mean I argue against Avengers. And after which, you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won. You can find us on our website, munchamovies.com, or find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at munchamovies, and let us know who you think won.
You can also check out our YouTube channel, Muncher Movies, and let us know who you think won in the comments. Let's toss that coin now.
Yep, let's get to the coin toss. Here we go. And it's Tails.
Suck it!
Well, we already discussed the second time I watched for free.
Everyone heard what we already discussed.
I didn't pay money for the second time. There was a reason. I already said it's not one we go back to.
Oh, so you didn't pay money the second time because this movie was shit?
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't have watched it for money. And you said you don't go back to it. either. There's got to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
You're going to rediscover how this movie does not hold up. See, we all remember having a good time, Vikram, but the devil is in the details.
Uh-huh.
And it's the details I'm going to be looking out for in this rewatch.
Because you have no option. That's,
you know what?
Yeah.
I have an open mind. I have an open mind.
You have no choice.
I have an open mind. And let's go watch the movie and see what it's all about.
Right. Also, by open mind, you mean biased mind already.
No, I mean the nuances of this movie is what I'm curious about.
Yawn. Let's go. Let's go watch this movie, man. I'm so pumped.
All right, let's do it. Let's go watch the movie. So we watched Avengers. Joss Whedon, man. He ruined Avengers.
Really?
I'd never realized this.
Really?
Joss Whedon, dude. Firstly, I never watched Buffy, but I love Firefly.
Oh yeah, me too.
Joss Whedon, before he even made this movie, he was a lord of the geeks.
Yeah, and he's like a self-proclaimed like comic book nerd. And
the Norse god of the nerds, I call him.
Very evident, man. Very evident to see.
The man in the sky who made Firefly.
Right.
To me, Joss Whedon ruins this movie. He's like if Star Trek, The Next Generation, and A Song of Ice and Fire had a baby on Krypton and sent it to Kansas.
That's Joss Whedon?
That's Joss Whedon.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then the adoptive parents of that baby got murdered outside the opera, and the baby fell into a well with bats.
Right, right.
And there was a lot of gamma radiation in the well.
Okay.
And then the kid got bit by a radioactive spider. And then some terrorists catch him, and he has to build a suit in a cave to get out of it.
Iron Man, I like it. Okay.
That's Joss Whedon.
Okay.
And yet, he ruins this movie.
Oh.
By inflicting it with too much Joss Whedon. That's the problem with this movie. I'm going to write a think piece, by the way.
Okay.
Too much Joss Whedon, Avengers, because you need some clickbait, you know.
Of course. And from everything that you described Joss Whedon as, too much Joss Whedon is a great thing.
That's awful. That's what ruined it. He went overboard with it. The Whedonisms in this movie, you know what I'm talking about, the Whedonisms.
I loved all of them.
All of them.
Everything about this. Dude, he laid the groundwork for everything. Quite literally everything. Can you imagine like bringing all of these big, firstly, superstars and superheroes into one movie and not making it look forced or like...
I can imagine it. A movie came out. It was called Avengers in 2012. And then 6 years later, the Justice League came out and got it right.
Justice League got it right.
Well, Snyder got it right. And then Joss Whedon...
Get violent like first minute of this.
Joss Whedon came and ruined Justice League as well. You know all the Whedonism problem with Justice League? This movie is where it started from. But greater directors before him had come and laid the groundwork so he could pull off something that was exciting. So all the Whedonisms just kind of flew by.
No one laid the groundwork. No one did this. No one's ever done this before.
Jon Favreau laid the groundwork. Kenneth Branagh laid the groundwork with Thor. And whoever the hell directed Captain America, who gets no credit, he laid the groundwork.
Yeah, that's one movie each. That's one superhero movie each. That's not the groundwork for anything. The groundwork for the MCU was the Avengers movie, where he brought all those stories together and a plot and
it took him a while. So you know what? I'll take back the Justice League comment because it's not fair to compare it to something that came out 6 years later in a different universe.
And was way worse.
Age of Ultron did it better.
Oh, God. Don't even.
Are you hating on Age of Ultron?
No, I'm not. But then I still think Avengers is better than Avengers Age of Ultron.
You know, I'll tell you what. This movie was not a movie. It was just an event. I'll grant you the event. I just admitted how excited I was for the event. You know those comic book events where they just mash up the heroes together? It's like you hold the action hero and you're like, oh, Thor, you're going to fight him. Oh my God, Thunder. But actually the Thunder charges Iron Man. Dishoom, vroom, vroom.
So good, man. All of that stuff is so... You know, like in the intro, I was talking about how I'd forgotten like these specific, like when does Thor meet Iron Man and stuff. So good. So good. All the heroes meeting for the first time are so good. Even if it's like the stupid Bruce Banner meeting Captain America handshake. Everything was so well done.
You know that CW crossover event when Supergirl was on the Arrow universe?
No, I do not.
And Flash was on the Supergirl universe?
I know you do not as well.
That did it better.
Right. I knew it. I just knew it.
You know, we have to talk some specifics here.
I mean, because you have nothing else to gripe on.
Oh my God, I have so many gripes, dude. I'm serious. Okay, you know what? The last broad point. The Tesseract, bro. They're obsessed with the Tesseract.
You know, shit.
It's the ultimate MacGuffin of all time. It's like the suitcase from Pulp Fiction, if it was blue, and everybody's obsessed over it, and it's lasted multiple movies.
Wait. So you mean MacGuffin in the sense of the MCU?
Yeah.
But not in the sense of this movie.
And in this movie.
How so?
It's just like Tesseract does this and Tesseract does that. And like, it's also confusing because Loki's scepter is also blue. So I thought that came from the Tesseract as well. Mm-hmm. Now I know it's the Mind Stone, which they actually, which doesn't make any sense.
There was no need of an explanation in the movie. It's fine.
Yeah, but I thought that that's the Tesseract as well. And I
Still worked.
Also, like Nick Fury holds it with his hand. I mean, he's wearing a glove, but in Captain America 1, it like burns through the floor of a plane.
Yeah.
And Nick Fury is just chilling with his hand. Whatever. Really pissed me off, but whatever.
Okay, let's move on. Yeah.
Let's move on to specifics. I want to talk by character. And the character I want to bring up first and foremost, the most important character, technically introduced in a different movie, but arguably mainly introduced in this movie. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Loki?
Nope.
Ooh. Hulk?
Nope.
Oh, this is going to be something stupid. Hawkeye? I knew it.
What do you mean you knew it? That was your third guess. You didn't know it.
No, because I knew it was going to be something stupid.
It's Hawkeye. Dude, they pretend that Hawkeye has a real superpower in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Not the fact that he's Arjun from Mahabharat and can, you know, pierce the eye of a fish from the distance of whatever, miles.
That's not what Arjun did.
Whatever. I'm not the best with mythology. Can he pierce the fish of an eye?
He looks at a reflection of a rotating fish in water, and then without looking at the fish directly, he pierces the eye.
This Arjun fellow...
Oh my God, I'm so proud of knowing that.
No, screw all that. This Arjun fellow has nothing on Hawkeye. Hawkeye would destroy.
I agree.
They pretend that Hawkeye is like an actual hawk. First, they refer to him as the Hawk at some point in the movie. I don't know why they do that. That's definitely not from the comics. Then, for some reason, he's actually perched up. It's like, you know, in Animorphs, when Tobias turns into a hawk,
mm-hmm.
and even when he becomes human, he feels like a hawk.
Right.
Or like in Game of Thrones, when people walk, they feel like a wolf.
Yeah.
So apparently Hawkeye's like that. He only feels comfortable perched up.
Yeah.
People are just chilling downstairs, they're doing work, and he perches up.
Yeah.
Then they pretend he actually sees better from a distance.
Yeah.
They say he sees better from a distance.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
That's all true.
Yeah.
No, it's all true. Everything you said is true.
Dude, he's perched. He uses a rope to come down.
Yeah.
To interact with the people he's supposed to be guarding, I guess.
Right. Or
what is going on? He climbed up the rope and went up.
How does that matter? How he went up there?
It's the dumbest introduction to a character.
He had an arrow rope thingamajig, man. Like,
Oh yeah. Like his little quiver is basically Batman's utility belt. Anything can come out of it.
Of course.
At one point, when he's been taken over by Loki, who after he gets taken over, he calls Sir, by the way, which I found hilarious.
No, because he's the army soldier type of a guy.
Ah, so he's become a mundu of Loki. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of his magical arrows, at one point, you remember in the middle, the second act on the helicarrier,
mm-hmm.
he shoots some like magical swinging.
It wasn't magical.
Arrow shot.
That was just like.
It was magical, basically. It was like the bullet from Wanted. It just like curves into something.
No, it's just physics, Udhar.
Okay, it's just physics. And then here's the second part of the physics. He shoots an arrow that goes into a socket and then double pierces a socket that causes a malfunction in the ship.
Yeah. Except calling it a socket, think of it as a USB drive socket.
Can you stop saying firstly, to everything that's stupid?
You're just stating things that happened which were glaringly obvious as to why it happened, so I have no other response except agree with you.
Oh yeah, remember in like S.H.I.E.L.D. Spy School where they teach you how to use an eyeball extraction machine? Or when they teach you how to use an arrow that becomes a double socket USB drive that it submits a virus? Dude, please, just disconcede.
I don't even know what you want me to concede
how
here.
How dumb Hawkeye is throughout the movie.
I really liked his powers, and I thought, so you know.
Aha, so you admit their powers.
Of course they're powers.
Black Widow doesn't have powers. She's in the real world. Hawkeye is not. He's literally shooting without looking.
Hawkeye has enhanced abilities for whatever reason. So.
But he doesn't though. He's not a mutant. He's not like a super soldier. He's just a dude that they pretend has powers. That's why it doesn't make any sense. You're making my point for me. Just say concede.
Concede to what?
Concede to how it's stupid. Hawkeye should not have basically real powers. He should be grounded like Black Widow.
Okay. Are you sure he doesn't have something in the comics? Like a backstory, origin story or something?
Oh, you mean like Black Panther? Like he swallowed some seed?
I guess, yes.
I should rephrase that. But even if he does, you know, my point is if they're being true to the comics, he wears some like purple horn uniform, then do that. He has as many powers in the movie, technically, as he has sleeves. Which is none.
Oh.
And he really has no business being part of the Avengers. Not as Black Widow, and we'll get to it. And you know, in Age of Ultron, he actually refers to it like, I'm just a guy with an arrow.
Right.
So for sure he doesn't have powers.
Wait, I take offense to the part where you said he has no business being a part of the Avengers. Of course he does. Did you not see what he does?
I thought you were going to say I take offense to the fact that he doesn't wear sleeves, because he doesn't and he looks really stupid.
Oh, no, that's not the case. Dude, can we please move on from Hawkeye?
Okay.
I don't know why we're talking about Hawkeye so much.
Because it's...
Who I loved, by the way.
In my rewatch
of this movie, I loved it. I loved his character.
Ugh. He's the first Avenger that appears in the movie, right? So it's only fair.
Okay. Moving on. Anything else stupid you have in store for me?
No, let's move on to another character. Why don't you pick this time?
Can we move on to the real Avengers? Tony Stark, for example, who, by the way, was so much better than he was in Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Nope.
Yes. What are you saying?
He just had less screen time.
Yeah, but his character was so much funnier and punchy. I loved it.
His character, Whedonism alert, his character had too many Whedonisms. The thing is, Iron Man 1 had the perfect balance. In this, he's just quip, 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 here, nickname, that. And by the way, I concede some of the nicknames. They actually cracked me up. But it's like anything else. You make 100 jokes, 2 or 3 of them will be funny.
I agree about the nicknames, but so much more about his interactions with all the other superheroes. Hilarious, man. I loved it.
Firstly, it opens with him and Pepper Potts and... I want to take this moment to talk about all the camera lechery that's going on, that Whedon is doing.
Camera lechery.
So this movie has all these like weird angles to begin with, but whatever, that's fine, I guess.
Here comes another one.
Art.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much camera lechery, and I don't want to use the word that's usually used because Michael Bay does this with Megan Fox and other characters in his Transformer movies.
Oh my God, I know where this is going.
Pepper Potts wearing shorts, and then all the ass shots, then Black Widow ass shots, then Maria Hill. Oh, Robin from How I Met Your Mother. This is how they use her for all these ass shots. Oh, it's so sad. Anyway, the first scene, Tony Stark opens with Pepper Potts. Apparently, Pepper Potts, Gwyneth Paltrow, is barefoot just so that she doesn't look taller than Robert Downey Jr., who she's much taller than. So much camera lechery. Then, this is my one big gripe about Tony Stark in this movie. This man's a genius, yes?
Yes.
The genius.
Yes.
How does he not know what shawarma is?
Really?
How does he not know?
Really, dude? I mean, is this what
this man is a genius who doesn't know what shawarma is?
Is this going to be the feud?
Come on, man.
Tony Stark doesn't know what a shawarma is. Ooh, what a bad movie.
That is symbolic of using a joke for a joke, even though it doesn't make sense. This happens a lot in the movie.
It's 2012. Hey, I don't blame people in New York not knowing what a shawarma is. Neither should you, because I think you were there at that time.
Yeah, and everybody I knew in New York knew what a shawarma is.
You hangout with your smart people. Just stop it, man.
Dude, okay, I have a real point, okay?
Do you? Seriously. Come on, man.
This is a very real point, okay? And you'll actually get this.
Okay.
Tony Stark takes a nuke, which, by the way, they just had lying around on a shield helicarrier. That helicarrier has a nuke on it. A nuke. In the sky.
They foreshadow that by that entire scene of them confronting Nick Fury of building weapons of mass destructions.
Oh, so it was one of those weapons.
Yes.
It was a special nuke.
Yes.
It was a phase two nuke.
Because Tony Stark incidentally says that, nuclear weapons is your sort of solution here.
Ah, okay. Granted. Nobody cares. Still weird.
No, you cared like a second ago.
I cared. I granted.
Okay.
I can be a big man.
Okay,
I can
shut up and move on.
Here's the real point. Tony Stark takes a nuke, destroys the little wormhole Chitauri ship, which we can talk about later. And it's like Ender's Game hive mind, right? Like they all die, you know, like Game of Thrones and the White Walker. Well, just like Ender's Game, he just mass murdered a small civilization.
Right.
And this is a broad point in general. The Avengers just murder people and species like all the time.
Wait, correct yourself. This is not Avengers. This is superhero movies in general. Right? That's the whole MO, killing bad guys.
Yeah, but you know what they do? They always make it a point to make it clear that the bad guys is either a monster or like the bad guys minions are not really human. Like they'll be humanoid like the Chitauri are, or they'll be like those dogs at the end of Infinity War and the Wakanda battle. But with the Chitauri, they make it a point for one of them to like remove their mask and show that this is like a person inside. It's not just a robot. And Tony Stark, genocidal maniac in this movie.
So wait, they're not monsters, they're people now?
No, they're what?
And I mean, Superman taking, just destroying...
He got a lot of shit for that.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of shit for this movie.
Okay, so you're responsible for getting that shit?
Tony Stark is a monster. He's a genocidal monster. I know it was self-defense, but he should be haunted. He keeps getting haunted in Iron Man 3 from the fact that he almost died. Oh, how selfish. God. What about the fact that he just killed a civilization?
He's or so it's small desperate, child? Dude.
You know when Ender does it in Ender's Game and he realizes he does it without knowing it, otherwise he wouldn't have done it, kills the planet, and then he feels so guilty he takes the last egg and goes around the universe and plants it. What does Tony Stark do? Eat shawarma.
I feel bad for you, man. You're so desperate. You're digging so deep and so hard.
Dude, the devil is in the details. I told you. I realized the nuances of this movie when I rewatched it.
This is not a nuance. This is a stupid point.
It's a skip nuance. Genocide.
God, dude. I mean, what'd you do after Infinity War then, man?
Also, I partied. Because a lot of them died. That's just me. I'm a fan of genocide.
Right.
It's just that it doesn't get talked about.
Okay.
I hope nobody takes this "I'm a fan of genocide" clip and edits it out.
I hope people do, because you deserve hate for the stupidity you're bringing up right now.
Dude, where the hell is Rhodey? Just tell me that.
Oh, he was unsigned, I guess.
Yeah, where is he? Don't you think Rhodey and Tony Stark had a conversation like, hey, bro, remember that suit I gave you?
It's called budget cuts, man. Come on.
Are you enjoying it? You're accepting.
That there were budget cuts in a big budget Hollywood movie? Yeah, I accept it.
What, they couldn't afford Don Cheadle?
Yeah, and his CGI.
No, they just wanted to keep the sanctity of the Avengers intact. Lame storytelling.
That's actually a stronger point than anything that I was thinking about.
Aha, I'm better than you for both sides of the argument. That's why I deserve to win.
God, dude.
Where the hell was Rhodey? Don't you think they had a conversation later being like, yo, bro. Bro, remember that suit? Are you enjoying
it? This is a common theme in the MCU, that where was this superhero when that superhero was getting messed up and stuff like that.
I agree. World-ending events happen all the time.
All the time, yeah. Including Spider-Man Homecoming, where it's happening in like a neighborhood of Queens. Where's everyone else then?
You're not defending it at all.
It's not something that's supposed to be defended.
If you don't defend it, then say you concede.
Yeah, I will not concede. Also, the guy has the best lines ever, man.
Yeah, he has a few good ones, I'll give you that. But he's taking like 100 cracks at it, so there's bound to be some good ones.
Why don't we talk about the best ones? Let's just kick off the award segment.
Oh, awards? Yeah, I have a few. Let's do it.
DJ, cue that music. First up, we have the award for best line. And the nominees are... You're a laboratory experiment, Rogers. Everything special about you came out of a bottle. Love that one.
Yeah, weak.
The second nominee, Phil. His first name is Agent. Love that one again.
You're going for the bottom of the barrel here.
But the award, which it kind of has to because it's the most iconic line from the movie, goes to, that's my secret cap, I'm always angry.
You went for the action iconic?
I couldn't, there's no other line that trumps it.
Mm.
Think about it.
My favorite one that is a concession in terms of a good joke is... Doth mother know you wear a third
dress? Yeah, that was funny.
That's like pure weirdness. I just love Firefly. It just reminded me of that.
Yeah,
sounds like something Nathan Fillion would say in Firefly.
100%. It's a hilarious joke as well. But you know what my problem was? I wanted to include that here, but I didn't remember it until I rewatched the movie. But like, that's my secret cap. I'm always angry. So Hulk, it just defines his character so much that line has to, it transcends this movie and it's become part of like MCU folklore, right?
Yeah, I think the visual has a lot to do with it too.
100%. And the punch after that?
The punch of epic. The Leviathan.
Epic.
Did you know that those things are called the Leviathans?
Yes, I Googled it just like you did.
A long time ago, I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think on that note, you know what? Like I said, I will grant some of the jokes in this movie. And while we're talking about Iron Man, why don't we do the best nicknames award?
Okay.
So this is probably the order in which they happen because he addresses everybody one by one. So, he calls Captain America Capsicle, which I love, which is the best amalgamation of two words ever. He calls Thor Point Break, which has actually become pretty iconic now. And he calls Loki Rock of Ages, right. Which if you've seen the musical, it just makes some sense somehow. It sounds like one of those like improvised things, again, somewhere between a Whedonism and an improv. But the award has to go to, it's so on the nose, it's so easy, and yet it's so perfect. He calls Hawkeye Legolas. Which is exactly what he is. He's just a Legolas without sleeves.
I'm telling you, man. Iron Man killed it in this one. See, you're conceding how funny this movie is.
Yeah, just in that little like 3 out of 100 jokes, okay? But my next award is actually the best example of why this movie is not that special. My next award is Best Unintentional Homages. Do you know what I'm referring to here? So much of this movie was so much like other movies.
Please go on. I'm blanking.
You're so weak. Mm-hmm. You know, you just... You just bought into the MCU. I don't think about these things.
I'm just waiting to see which corner of this immense movie you go to pick something out that's...
It's not a nitpick. Firstly, broadly. We haven't spoken about Loki yet. Broadly, Loki giving himself up. That is so Dark Knight. And Skyfall, which I can't remember whether it came after this movie, but Skyfall made it even more iconic. But whatever, Loki gives himself up, just like the Joker in The Dark Knight, and eventually the bad guy from Skyfall.
I'm also sure that's happened in like 100 other movies.
Yeah, but it's so standard. This came so soon after Dark Knight, like a few years after. The Joker had made it iconic in superhero movies. Weak,
let's move on.
Second nominee, do you remember how Loki like mind warps into another plane and talks to an alien, which, by the way, another unintentional homage is that alien, I think his name is The Other in the movie.
Right.
He's like a Doctor Who alien. He's that bad, like the worst makeup alien creature in the movie. So he just like makes his mind or consciousness go up and talk to the alien, and he's interacting with it on a different plane. And then he just comes back to Earth. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he's still on Earth. I mean, his consciousness is there.
That was exactly like Beverly Hills Ninja.
What?
Haven't you seen Beverly Hills Ninja?
I have. Is this Chris Farley you're talking
about? Yeah, with Chris Farley. Chris Farley has this like ninja master, and then anytime he wants, he just like meditates, and he just goes up to this plane and he talks to the ninja master there, and then he comes back down. Best unintentional homage. Nominee number two. Nominee number three, I already mentioned, is The Hive Mind, Ender's Game, Game of Thrones, so many other. It's also this Deus Ex Machina solution. Anytime you have a big villain, it's like, oh, you take care of one ship and all the others fall. Weak.
You know what's weak about that nomination is that everything that you mentioned, I think, came after The Avengers.
No, Game of Thrones did, but Ender's Game didn't. Oh, wait, it did.
I think it did as well as Ex Machina.
Well, Ender's Game, the book, didn't. They got it from the book.
Okay. Whatever.
And...
You know what's actually weak about that nomination is, I think everything you said came after this movie.
Oh, you mean like Game of Thrones? Well, Ender's Game didn't.
Yes, it did, I think.
Oh, maybe. Well, Ender's Game, the book didn't. That came out like 18 years ago.
Oh, so they got it from the Ender's Game book.
Okay, never mind. The winner.
Yes.
The winner of this category, Best Unintentional Homage, is Black Widow. You know when she uses Cap's shield to jump onto one of the Chitauri's jet skis?
Yeah, she gets a jump boost.
Yeah, and then she starts controlling him. It's just like Ratatouille. She just like digs a thing into it and starts controlling the Chitauri and makes him go like left and right. And the Chitauri is just like chilling and letting her do it. It's just like Ratatouille.
So basically the guys, Joss Whedon and Kevin Feige and all these guys got Ender's Game the book.
I said unintentional, by the way.
Oh, it's unintentional. Okay. Yeah, I think I remember that Joss Whedon interview where he was talking about how much he loves Ratatouille.
Uh-huh.
Subconscious stuff, maybe. Man.
See, unintentional, yeah. But subconscious.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, I have a few awards to give out before we wrap this up. Best beard?
Best beard. Did anybody but Thor have beards?
Yes.
Like who? Oh, that's the thing Tony Stark has on his face count as a beard?
Technically, yes.
I think it should be like best caterpillar.
My best beard award goes to... Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Imagine bald Nick Fury with no beard. No bueno, bro.
Best goatee. Best Frenchie, sure, as they call it in India. No, French beard.
Yeah, you combined goatee and French beard and you made it Frenchie, which is a line of underwear sold in our country. The next award for best fight, according to me,
best fight
goes to Hulk and Loki. Even though it's not much of a fight, it's hilarious.
A one-way fight.
So funny.
I laughed a lot at that scene, I'll give you that. That's in the theaters. Great. But I couldn't understand why I was laughing. It doesn't make any sense.
It was funny, man. Because it was near the end, you were kind of frustrated at Loki the character, and then Hulk just comes in and...
But then he just walks away, puny god.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the best lines too, puny god. Didn't make me crack up.
That's true. And last but not least, best powers.
Best powers? Oh, it's easy.
Okay. Who?
Superman. Unbeatable.
I can't even argue with that one.
You never said MCU.
I did not say MCU. Superman's actually right. I can't believe I fell for that one, man.
Aha. By the way, speaking of powers, can we talk about Black Widow, who has none?
Except her mind.
Except her ass, more like, is what you mean.
No.
Which Joss Whedon just focused on too much.
Sexist.
I'm not. Joss Whedon is. Calling out sexism is not sexism.
No, I think Joss Whedon did a pretty good job with her character, man, in terms of how she extracts information from people. Like, when she's getting beaten up and she's like, oh, I'm actually in the middle of an interrogation. Come on, dude. That's so good.
That was so contrived. What I'll grant you is actually when she goes and recruits Banner. That's actually a better scene and better use of her.
What about Loki's interrogation?
Dude, you know what? Can we talk about the Black Widow Loki scene? I've seen this movie many times.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't get it. What are they on about? What are they talking about? My ledger's red, my ledger's black, and I owe him a debt.
Again, one more thing I forgot about, and it's never brought up again, I guess, in the MCU. Like, what's the ledger about? I guess we'll find out in the Black Widow
spin-off. Shut up. You know we won't. It's like my ledger's red, and I owe him a favor in Hawkeye, and they imply that there's something deep between her. And I don't know if this is like a Whedon thing, like he's too used to TV where he opens these mysteries and doesn't solve them, or he was too
I'm
used
sure
to TV.
I'm sure they had a plan for that in the content, man.
That they failed, but it's like anything with the MCU, man. Like when you do things that only set up future movies and don't focus on the movie, that doesn't make any sense. This maybe is the sixth time I'm watching that conversation. I have no idea what they're on about, man. That's such a weird conversation.
I guess because of the subsequent movies not sort of shedding any light onto the whole ledger situation. But the whole interaction, the way she extracts information that
extracts what? What does she figure out? In the end,
that the only reason he's doing this is because the Hulk. The Hulk is the centerpiece of his plan.
Yeah, you know this because she says this. But did you focus on the line before that?
You brought the monster.
Yeah, you brought the monster, but he doesn't make it clear at all that that's his whole big game plan. You know how I was talking about, oh, he lets himself get caught? In the other movies I referred to, you get why the villain let himself get caught. In this movie, he gets caught so the Avengers come together and then it backfires on him. What is Loki's plan? But before we move to that, Black Widow, the way she figures it out and that makes her feel like she's super smart, I didn't like that at all, man. Like that interrogation scene sets her up to be like some super genius. She's so not. What I will give credit for is she looks younger now than she did then for some reason. Did you notice that?
That's not a Black Widow thing, dude. That's a Scarlett Johansson
being boss thing. I think Scarlett Johansson's stunt woman did a great job. Some of the stunts that Black Widow does, top
really,
notch.
Really good action sequences all across.
Yeah. But then also in the end, she's really lame. And because she has to be useful, firstly, she's fighting with guns. If she can do it, just get all the Marines out ever. I mean, this is an insult to Marines, the fact that Black Widow is the one who's the most useful. She so should not be an Avenger. But anyway, did you notice what she gets reduced to in the end with the spear on the top of the building? They're like, oh, the spear's over there. And then they look and she's there. And then I assume she goes and retrieves it. It sadly reminded me of Amy Adams / Lois Lane from Batman versus Superman.
Just because a woman has a spear and has the same.
A glowy spear, and like the main people have forgotten about it, but the woman can notice it and she doesn't have powers.
Please, they haven't forgotten about it. They're occupied elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, just like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman were with Doomsday.
That's what a team does, man. Like, look out for each other.
Oh, you don't have powers, you take care of the spear thing.
That's... Obviously, she can't, like, she's done her. Whatever, she's reached the limit in terms of how much she can fight the Chitauri with her Glocks. So obviously she's there, the spear's there, she knows the spear's the only way to stop it, she does it.
Oh, and just plot-wise too, man, Skellen Skarsgård, the scientist guy, I forget his name in the movie, he's pulled a Galen Erso from Rogue One. He's just put in some flaw in the Death Star.
Subconsciously. Galen Erso, like, knowingly did that.
Yeah, but what? That's so lame. So the fact that it's subconscious is what's lame. If it was conscious, then it's cool. It adds to Galen Erso's character. What a sacrifice that man made for the Empire.
Great job.
And
great
in
dude.
The case of Skellen Skarsgård, what a plot hole he made for the movie. What a convenient...
No, but then if he would do that consciously, that would defeat the power of that spear then.
Yeah, the fact that he did it subconsciously does defeat the power of that spear.
No, you're making the reverse point. If he did it subconsciously, it defeats the power of the spear. The fact that he did it subconsciously actually goes further than that.
It's just another convenient, contrived thing, man. Just like the Chitauri falling with the hive mind. Also, just the way the Chitauri... Like, for instance, sometimes they're trying to kill humans. They just basically... What's that word, man? Is it the Star Trek name for people who are just going to die? Who are just there to die?
Wait, are you talking about red shirts?
Yeah. The people who are just there to be fodder.
They're Federation officers specifically.
Yeah, but nobody cares, right? They'll never say a line. They're like that gaming non-playing character. NPCs. Yeah. They're just there to be fodder to die.
Right.
So that's what the Chitauri are. And by the end of it, in Infinity War, they just convert them into dogs, which basically makes sense. But, you know, at one point, they're surrounding a bank and they're keeping people hostage. And then as soon as Captain America comes, they decide to blow them up with a bomb. Why? They have guns and they're keeping them hostage and then blow them up with bombs. Do you know what I mean? The devil is in the details, my friend. These nuances, this is what differentiates a Russo Brothers movie from a Joss Whedon movie.
Yeah, we'll get to a Russo Brothers movie, and I'm sure the devils and the details will come up then also. I just feel bad for you, man, because you have nothing concrete. You're just throwing like stupid stuff like, oh my God, they have a gun, but they have bombs, so they don't blow a bomb, but they blow gun. And they're human, so I feel bad about genocide, but I love genocide. Keep it together, bro.
It's just an example of the plot contrivances.
Also, you mentioned Cap. I just have a side note.
Can we talk about Cap?
Does his nose look bigger in this movie?
See?
I forgot.
The devil's in the details.
I forgot.
I don't know.
I haven't seen like the older Captain America movies in a while, and this movie as well. And I just remember him from like Ultron onwards or Civil War onwards and stuff. And his nose definitely looks bigger in this movie.
Are you in love with Chris Evans, bro?
No, I'm not. Just like... I was like, that's not his nose.
I don't notice these things. I'm sorry.
Oh, the devil's in the details, bro. Where'd
the
that
details
go?
About Cap, there's plenty of details to talk about. For instance, so contrived, where he starts giving orders because that's his role, you know, because they don't superpower him up for this movie yet.
He's a leader. He's a general.
He's a leader. He's a captain, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is a captain.
So his role is that he gives orders. So the police officer's like, why the hell should I take orders from you? And then a Chitauri magically lands on the same roof of the car he's standing
Three
on.
Three Chitauris.
Mm-hmm. And he beats them up with his little shield. Also, the thing that goes over his head, you know, as mm-hmm. part of the Stars and Stripes uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that's a hoodie? It's like a hood that comes on.
Yeah.
Like without it, it's actually a pretty chill hoodie he's wearing. But with it, he looks like the biggest loser on the planet. Like that head condom that he wears.
His costume's definitely pretty dated. I think he's still using the same costume from Winter Soldier, right? Captain America 1, right?
Yeah, Coulson says, right? We could use a little Stars and Stripes.
Right.
But anyway, Three Chitauri come, he beats them up, and the police are like, okay, I guess you are my leader. That defeats the purpose. His character was supposed to be that he's the leader, not the fact that he can beat people up.
No, but it's not like the police, it's well established that this is Captain America, this is what you're supposed to do. It's a panic situation, the police is trying to build a perimeter.
And the policeman asks a great question. You are in a stupid costume, I don't know who you are from the World War II stories. By the way, there was a deleted scene where Cap actually rescues some people, and one of the guys he rescues is a World War II vet.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy like salutes Cap or something like that. And then somebody goes like, do you know him? And he goes like, everybody knows him, something like that. That makes sense. That could be a reason to follow him. But two policemen correctly asking, bro, like, what cosplay are you coming from? Why should I follow you?
Mm-hmm.
Beating Chitauri up is not a good reason to follow.
Of course it is. That's what a panic situation does. You don't have time to establish logical reasoning in terms of, oh, why should I follow you? Can you tell me why? You see action. You see he's on your side. You see he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I'm following you, man. Because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Man, I don't know. All the Cap stuff was so weird and weak. Did you notice that he was fighting with a gun? That was so weird.
Why?
Like, he has a gun?
He's always had a gun.
They abandoned that completely after this movie.
Later on.
The Russo brothers fixed him, is my point.
Captain America's always had a gun, comics included.
Like a gun?
Yeah.
He has a rifle at some point.
Yeah, he does. He has a rifle at some point on the helicarrier when he's trying to shoot those guys. But as Captain America's uniform has a holstered sidearm always on his belt.
Dude, you know, they needed something to cater to the fact that, okay, Cap is now interacting with these people and he's woken up. So, yeah, Tony Stark makes all those jokes. Then, at some point, they make a Wizard of Oz reference for no reason. It's like something flying monkeys. And that reference itself doesn't fit. And then Cap suddenly goes like, I got that. Because another Whedonism. Oh, look, these are the things that Cap gets. So let's break the tension of a serious moment with that. I just didn't enjoy that. I mean, Whedon did that a lot. Like the Gallagher line that's so famous. Some guy's playing Gallagher.
Loved it.
No reason to say it, but he says it. The only thing I will concede about Cap, though, in fact, two things. Are you amazed that it's two things? Are you going to grant me some concessions?
I'm waiting for you to get done, man.
Okay. I'm giving a concession.
Yeah,
you can be happy about this.
Yeah, great.
One, him actually being annoyed when he finds out that S.H.I.E.L.D. is accessing every wireless camera. That's pretty cool because of the way it ties into all other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a throwaway thing. It actually doesn't make sense if you haven't seen the rest of the movies. But that was pretty cool. Yeah. Like his morals are actually intact across the universe.
Always are.
Oh, yeah, it's Captain America mm-hmm. after all. And the other is his line when they get onto the Quinjet for the first time. And some guy's on it. And he's just like, you guys can't be here.
Son, don't even.
Son, just don't.
Son, just don't.
It's so good, yeah. The fact he's calling him son is great.
Yeah. I mean, the way he embraces, or the way they embrace, or make Captain America's character embrace how he's been absent for like 70 odd years, I think they did that pretty well. Like, they crafted his character arc in this movie pretty well in terms of, oh, I've heard about you when he meets Bruce Banner and stuff like that as well. It's done pretty well. And it's actually, to your point about the old policeman point, it's pretty well established where Captain America's been in this regards to like this timeline. So the policeman not knowing him at that point in time makes complete sense. And I completely understand the reason why they deleted that scene. It's not needed.
Yeah, I guess I could just see in the writing room, they're like, well, what are we going to do with Cap? Well, in this movie, he's a fish out of water. And then we go from there. And what is his arc? Well, he learns to adjust to the new world.
That's exactly how they talk, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Okay, who do we leave out? You know, we haven't spoken about Loki, and I'm surprised that you haven't brought him up, because everybody just goes like, oh my God, the best Marvel villain ever. He's just less of a cartoon than like a Ronan or a Malekith from Thor 2.
What I liked about Loki was they made his character sort of play both sides in terms of he's menacing, he's scary, or he's kind of not, because we've already seen Loki from Thor 1. So we kind of know about his character, like he's this evil guy, mischievous, Lord of Mischief, whatever. But then we also see these crazy, dramatic, messed up scenes, like poking someone's eyeball so you can do that. Like the whole museum scene, Neil bend,
he kills
bend
80 people.
Yeah, so you see both sides of it, and I think he does it pretty well. I think Tom Hiddleston is generally a very good actor.
But wait, I'd forgotten the fact that he kills 80 people, and then afterwards he becomes a sort of anti-hero. Is he good? Is he bad?
Right.
Yeah, there's no room for that. He killed 80 people.
You think, how many do you think he's killed up until that point in his life?
Plus the Battle of New York he causes?
Yeah, he's like the perfect antagonist turned not antagonist.
That's my point. There is no more turning not antagonist. When
but it's... forget about the rest of the MCU. In this movie, I think he plays the perfect villain, the perfect Shakespearean villain.
Oh, yeah, because actually he got established in Thor 1, which was made by Kenneth Branagh, which was essentially a Shakespearean movie. And he is just going with it still.
Because Chris Hemsworth can't, to be honest, right? I think he should stay away from the Shakespearean side of things.
But that's what I mean. It's a misfit here.
With Loki, I think it's a great fit. With Chris Hemsworth, I see the misfit.
What bothers me about Loki, forget the character, forget the acting, whatever, man. What was his plan? He's given the Mind Stone to go get the Space Stone, right? That's effectively what's happening.
No, his plan is to take over Earth. His plan is to make humans suffer.
Yeah, but how? By the first thing he does...
with this army or with Thanos and his army so that they could help him take over Earth. He's short-sighted. His plan doesn't make all sense, but he's just pure vengeance, pure revenge, pure blood. That's all he wants.
Yeah, I understand that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But how he goes about it, he essentially assembles the Avengers and his plan is to unleash the Hulk. And then what? And then like, he does the thing where he makes Thor just drop in that dropping thing in the helicarrier. I hated the whole helicarrier sequence to begin with. Like, what is that little disc that Thor gets into and they drop it that Loki
is
being...
That's originally meant for Hulk.
It's meant for Hulk. Yeah. And then, so what? What does it do? Does it kill the Hulk? It doesn't kill anyone.
Thor. It's meant to contain the Hulk.
Once he's on the ship?
If he becomes Hulk, that's their way of containing the Hulk.
And then Loki tries
it's
to kill
like
Thor
Nick
with
Fury
it?
It's not like Nick Fury had a very fleshed out plan of...
No, nobody has a fleshed out yeah. plan. But the villain's plan needs to make sense. In Infinity War, Thanos' plan makes sense. His models don't make sense. But what he does makes some sense.
Yeah, but then by the time we get to Infinity War, we realize the magnitude of these villains is just increasing.
No,
so
just the
vast.
Execution. Like, what is it? Why does he bring people together? I just hated Loki's plan broadly and the way they figure stuff out. I already mentioned Scarlett Johansson being like, oh, you brought the monster. That's his play. At one point, Tony Stark is just talking and then suddenly he just figures out Loki's plan. It's just really lame.
You mean Loki's plan to attack via the Stark Tower?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he literally talks himself into understanding what that is.
Oh, one of the worst movie cliche tropes of all time.
Of course you say that. I mean, he's also... His character specifically is also so influenced by Thor and Odin as well, right? And like his upbringing and what he went through. So
what, he's angry because he's adopted?
And he's also not the smartest villain, yeah? So what? He's vengeful. His plan is so grand and scary that it kind of moves you, man.
That does remind me of the Thor, he's adopted line, which right. got a lot of play as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, I guess.
Yeah.
Another Whedonism. Didn't make sense for a really tense moment to be broken up like that. But
I think it worked pretty well.
I mean, Marvel's perfected it now with Taika Waititi and the Russo brothers. But at the time,
actually, give James Gunn the most credit for that.
Fair enough. But that movie never had any like serious stakes to begin with.
Because it made it look less serious. But
oh,
stakes,
maybe. That's
the,
true.
The stakes
were pretty high.
Yeah.
It was a galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's talk about Thor, I guess. He's okay. He's still the most boring Avenger in this movie until Ragnarok. He says, you people are so tiny. That was funny. That's it.
Yeah. And petty.
Oh, dude, he's in that glass cage that's meant for the Hulk.
Right.
And he can't break it with his hammer?
No, he can't break it because it's going round and round. You know this, Vidur. Why are we talking about this?
How can one touch of Mjolnir, is that the name of his hammer?
Okay.
How can one touch not just completely shatter something made on Earth?
Because it's made for a specific purpose. It's made to contain the Hulk. Imagine how strong it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's the hammer.
Yeah, and also he cracks it pretty significantly and then he gets dropped before he has a chance to shatter it. But he does shatter it when he gets his balance on the rotating disc thing.
It made no
Why
sense.
Are we talking about this?
Because Thor stuff makes no sense. You remember when he catches up to the plane that Loki is on?
Right.
He just appears. You have to take a moment here and think about how he did it, okay? Because the thing is, until very recently through Stormbreaker, Thor can't fly. You know this, right? Thor can't fly. Thor can just throw his hammer really fast and hold on to it.
Right.
That's why he spins it before he does it. So how did he catch up to the plane?
What do you mean, how do you get... So
is he like Hawkeye?
You're saying he can't throw his hammer faster than the plane?
No, he can throw his hammer mighty fast.
Mighty fast.
But like a sniper or a Hawkeye, he needs to understand the physics of the plane flying and throw his hammer such that it interjects the trajectory of the plane exactly.
Yeah, but the God of Thunder can't do that, I'm pretty sure.
Nope. It makes no sense.
I couldn't
think about it.
I didn't think you could get stupider with your gripes, but you're doing it, lo and behold.
Dude, think about it. How can he look at a plane, see where it's going, do the mental calculation in his head, and then aim his hammer to precision? Because think about what happens if he misses. He just keeps going across the plane. He's like, oh shit, I missed the plane, bye-bye. And then he just keeps going and going and going.
Maybe that's his third attempt, dude. Who knows? Why do you care?
My point is
his third attempt.
It has to be like his 30th.
And that was a
There's
side
no
note.
Way.
That was a behind-the-scenes interview where Joss Whedon said, oh, he actually tried that 10 times. We just didn't have the space to show it.
No wonder he's so angry when he gets on the plane.
Of course, yeah.
He's just like, Loki, now, I have no time to explain.
Yeah, I've been doing this for like 10 minutes now. I'm pissed off. Come with me.
I wish they just thought this stuff through, man. You know, they were like, hey, and then Thor appears on the plane. And then Joss Whedon should have been like, no. I'm a comic book nerd. I'm a god amongst humans when it comes to nerd culture. Mm-hmm. Thor cannot fly, hence he cannot intercept a plane. Mm-hmm. He's not Iron Man.
He can intercept a plane. And he does. And life goes on.
And what happens after? They fight, the three of them.
Great fight, by the way.
Shut up, dude.
Great fight.
Shut up.
Come on.
It ends with
First
Thor.
First time Iron Man's fighting Thor, I thought it would actually be weak.
It's standard comic book fare. Oh yeah, Levin, let's just make them fight. Just tell me how it ends. Remind me how the fight ends, Vikram.
The fight ends... So the only way to show that the three of them are equals and on the same team, that's how the fight ends and they actually make it believable.
No, tell me exactly
what happens. Can you beat that?
Yeah, tell me exactly what happens.
Thor hits Cap's shield, shockwave, everyone flies off.
Thor tries to murder Captain America.
Murder?
He?
Murder? What the hell is wrong with you? Genocide? Murder? It's a superhero movie. What else do you think is going to happen here?
He gets pissed off.
People slapping each other and running away.
He loses his cool. He has no idea who Captain America is. He has no idea the shield is made of vibranium.
He's the God of Thunder. He does not care about puny humans, man.
That's my point, dude. He just gets slightly, loses his temper, takes his hammer made from the heart of a dying star, given to him by Odin, the protector of the realms, including Earth. And he's actually the protector of Midgard. He sees a man in stars and stripes, gets annoyed, full force tries to kill him.
Yeah, thank God Cap's not dead.
Yeah, exactly. How is that okay? How is that an appropriate ending to this three-way battle? Till Iron Man and Thor, I was on board. Till Cap and Iron Man in the middle, I say, okay, this guy's trying to put out the fight. And Thor just tries to murder Captain America. Even the first time I watched this movie, I was like, whoa. How can you just do that? That's not cool at all. It's just happenstance that Captain America is not just like a little pulp on the ground right now.
You know, I'm baffled right now. And primarily why I'm baffled is because I know you truly don't give a shit about this. It's a superhero movie. Obviously, people fight. Every blow is lethal then. How did he hit you? How does he... Where do you have the nuts to do that? Obviously, it's Captain America. It's Thor, the God of Thunder.
How did Thor land on the plane, dude? Do you think Skellen Skarsgård taught him physics that helped him land on the plane?
For the sake of this conversation, of course he did.
Okay, then
of course he did.
You know, since you're unwilling to say you concede, I'll say
there's,
it for, of
there's
course.
No concession here. There's no concession here, but yes, Skellen Skarsgård taught him physics, greatest mind on earth, taught him how to intercept a plane. I can't, man. Let's move on, please.
Okay. Who have we not spoken about? Oh, there's Nick Fury, Maze Bondu.
See, that's not even an Avengers joke. I just love it, though. Yeah.
That's actually all I had about it.
That's great. Great stuff. Moving on. Anything else?
Who have we not spoken about?
The only one we haven't spoken about is the Hulk.
The Hulk.
Played by Mark Hamill for the first time, portraying the Hulk.
Did you say Mark Hamill?
Oh, Mark Ruffalo. My bad. Sorry, is it the Maze Bondu? It's this connection I had to Star Wars. My bad. So Mark Ruffalo, I liked him, man.
You're an idiot. It's not Mark Hamill. It's Mark Ruffalo.
Did I call him Mark Hamill again? I loved what he did. And I loved the CGI they used for with the Hulk.
Yeah, I loved how he projected himself into another planet and just died in front of two suns.
You can't. You can't confuse me.
You called him Mark Hamill.
It's Ruffalo. I'm just going to call him Ruffalo now. Uh-huh. Okay? This is the first time where the Hulk actually looked like Bruce Banner or the guy who was playing Bruce Banner. Like, he actually looked like Ruffalo.
Yeah, that's a technology thing. Yes, he actually did the screen capture for Hulk.
Yeah, but it didn't. The Edward Norton Hulk didn't look like Edward Norton.
Yeah, that's because Andy Serkis hadn't invented how to do that yet. I know he didn't invent it, but he basically did. Andy Serkis mocap technology.
Well, technically he had Lord of the Rings. Remember that one?
Oh yeah, Two Towers. That came out before, right? It doesn't matter. They hadn't figured it out. They hadn't worked out the kinks for the Hulk yet.
Okay, so just come up with imaginary answer. Throw it at me. Believe that's true. Move on.
It's all imaginary.
Their CGI was really good.
The CGI was fine. I mean, I told you already, I like the scene where he punches the Leviathan. But what about the Bruce Banner storyline from the start? His arc, actually there is no arc, his power control arc. Apparently he knows how to control his powers right from the start. Yet when the shield helicarrier gets a little, some turbulence, he turns into the Hulk.
No, that's actually not true. So they've shown that he's gotten, he's had good control over his power for a year without an incident. But it's his interaction with Tony that actually helps him unlock or figure out how to truly control that power. Which is what happens at the boss fight.
No, I'm always angry. No, there's hints where he's saying that I actually know how to control it. For instance, at one point, he tries to poke him, Tony, trying to get out the Hulk. And he's just like, no, I'm not.
I wouldn't have gotten on the plane if...
If a poke would do it.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, how do you keep calm or yoga? He's like, it's not yoga. And he's almost about to say what it is. And then in the end, he reveals he's always angry. I just didn't like how control. Are we controlled? Maybe not. Are we controlled? Maybe not. Easy. You know, that's weak, man. But can we just talk about the Banner intro scene? He's in Calcutta.
Mm-hmm. Lot of... pushback from Indians when that happened.
Was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't here. Was there?
Yeah. Because they're like, that's not Calcutta. He's like, yeah, he's not talking about Calcutta. They're talking about the slums, guys. Relax.
Yeah, he's just in a slum. But yeah, they equated Calcutta as many Western movies do.
I mean, they write the most prominent city name associated with it, so it's fine.
Dude, Mother Teresa just screwed it up for all of us, firstly. Ruined Calcutta's reputation.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Then the child with the Indian accent.
Mm-hmm. No. I know what you're about.
An ABCD Indian accent.
Mm-hmm.
So bad, dude.
It's common, man. It's commonplace in movies. So it's not like it's something new.
How many Indian Marvel fans there are? I mean, come on, dude.
I mean, they've shot that in New Mexico, by the way. So it's not like they traveled all the way to India and bought an ABCD girl too.
Yeah, but they could just do a casting call for a FOB girl instead of an ABCD girl. And then Bruce Banner speaks in a better Indian accent than the girl who's from Calcutta slums.
Better accented Indian accent.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. So okay. Say you concede.
He's just desperate for...
The MCU seems to love Hindi, by the way. First Iron Man in the cave, now this.
Shudh Hindi that was.
You think Endgame will have some?
Don't care.
That'd be awesome.
I do not care.
If I hear some Hindi during Endgame, that'll blow my mind.
If it's accented Hindi, that'll tilt me for sure.
But the fact that he is in Calcutta, man, like they addressed this in the movie, but he went to literally the most dense place on Earth or close to it. Why would he go to Calcutta if he's the Hulk?
I don't know. They didn't explain it. I didn't bother finding out, so...
The only thing I'll concede to the Hulk is, we already spoke about the Loki smashing scene.
Yeah.
But also when he smashes Thor, I remember laughing in theaters. And the second time I watched it, I remember looking forward to that scene. Mm-hmm. But like, why was I laughing? It makes no sense. Why does he do it?
Because it's funny.
It's just so stupid.
That's the whole point. Like, you're calling all of these things Whedonisms or whatever you're calling them. These things are actually hilarious. And the way he crafted them into the script, the perfect timing, the perfect joke, the perfect length, everything was so good.
Firstly, calm down on the use of the word perfect. It's far from it. Even the special effects in that scene suck, actually. When you rewatch it, you realize how green screeny it is. But it's fine. I'll grant it to you, man. Listen, like, Deadpool gets it right, I would say, 70% of the time with his jokes, right? This movie gets it right 10 to 20% of the time. But that ratio is very important. 70% of the time, you're having a great time. 10, 20% of the time, you're just like, all right, can you calm down? Can I see the story? Can I not have another quip, another bad joke? So yeah, some of them work, some of them didn't.
Respectfully disagree with you. I thought they worked all the time. There was no one joke that fell flat. Obviously.
You were a fanboy, bro.
I am a fanboy.
You have MCU goggles, bro.
Okay, I guess, yeah.
I would like some MCU goggles. That'd be cool.
Whatever they are, yeah. You know, talking about the Hulk, I read this funny YouTube comment while watching one of the trailer videos or something. This dude's like, there is only one thing in the MCU stronger than all Infinity Stones combines. Bruce Banner pants. Crack me up, man.
Oh, that's true. There's been a problem throughout the Hulk movies, I think.
And the comics as well.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
His pants shrink with him.
Yeah, I know.
In the comics. At least this one, they showed him naked.
Yeah, yeah.
After he shrank. But like in the comics, it's just his pants shrink with him. It's like weird elastic pants he has.
In the end, when they're eating shawarma, is he wearing pants?
I'm sure he is, yeah.
If he was naked, I would remember.
Yeah, everyone would have. Man, this is definitely one of our longest feuds yet, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so much I haven't brought up. You know, at one point...
Shut up. Loki... Shut up. Thank God. Thank God, man. I mean, we can't keep going on. It's a big movie. It has a lot of characters. I understand it's long, but...
You know Loki calls Black Widow the C word in the movie?
No, he does not.
I mean, he doesn't say the C word, but he calls her a mewling quim, which apparently means the same thing.
Oh, really? I remember him saying that. I had no idea that's actually that offensive.
Yeah, that's really offensive, man. Like, that's messed up. This movie just sucks, dude.
Really? Really? Come on, dude. This movie's like an NBA All-Star game, dude. Except all the All-Stars are actually performing highest level of basketball. What more can you want? What more can a fan want?
Shut up, you mewling quim. I can get away with it. I like this one.
And that wraps up this episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feud it, and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won. You can vote on our website, munchamovies.com, or on any of our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @MunchaMovies. Check the content out.
You can also subscribe to Muncha Movies on YouTube and let us know who you think won there. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts,
Stitcher,
CastBox,
pretty much wherever you get your podcasts.
See you guys next episode.
Bye-bye.